In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers, and we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/lazygenius and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/lazygenius. Thanks for your help.
Hey there. You're listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. I'm Kendra, and I'm here to help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about things that don't. Today is episode 81, The Lazy Genius and Healthy Eating. This is obviously a tricky topic for a lot of reasons, but much like the Lazy Genius Loses Weight episode, we're going to do some reframing because honestly, I think the concept of healthy eating, as defined by our current society and culture, is something we should definitely be lazy about. Allow me to take this podcast episode to explain what I mean. Here's the funny thing. Our impulses and insecurities around food aren't at all about the food. Our concern deep down is what the food will do to our bodies. Underneath most conversations about food and diet and a balanced lifestyle, is a focus on what our bodies look like. Sometimes it's what our bodies feel like, and we'll get to that. But you and I both know that it's hugely about how we look. If you ate a plant-based diet, if you gave up sugar and bread and cheese and did all the things that diet culture told you to do, and your body did not change from where it is now, would you still eat that way? I don't know the answer for you, but I'm pretty confident in my own answer. I would not. We already have a weird relationship with healthy eating because of how hard it is and how it occupies so much of our thinking. But if we don't even get the payoff of like a smaller stomach or thighs or whatever you want to be smaller, what's the point? And therein lies the rub. If you think there's no point to healthy eating without a change in how your body looks, you're eating that way for the wrong reason. Well, I don't want to say it's wrong, but man, is it exhausting and rooted in something so not important to who you really are. We have a lot of rationalizations about healthy eating. We want our bodies to be healthy. We want more energy. We want to be around for our grandkids. You guys, there are so many people who are healthy eaters who still get sick and die. I know it's grim. It's true. And you know it. I'm not saying I don't want to have a body that functions well, that has energy, or that I don't want to be around a long time to see my kids grow up. What I am saying is that using food as the sole vehicle to get me there doesn't work. I know there are people who have been diagnosed with diseases, and after embracing a healthier way of eating, like a plant-based diet, for example, were completely cured of something that modern medicine couldn't fix. Food is certainly important, and it's really powerful. But I also think we give it too much power. So what then are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just eat whatever we want and who cares what happens to our bodies? Not at all. I want to invite you into a way of living where food has no morality. Instead, you trust your body to tell you what it needs. You might have heard of this as intuitive eating, and I am fully on board. I have been for a while. The basic idea is that you listen to your body to know what you need, and not even just with food, with other areas too. Your body is complex and amazing, and bodies like ours have been existing for a super long time. Our bodies are excellent communicators. And when we begin the practice of listening and trusting what they have to say and what our bodies need, food no longer becomes the showrunner. We've heard sayings like, it's all about balance. And everything in moderation. We have heard people say that if you really pay attention to eating and mindfully taste and smell and create an experience around that square of dark chocolate, the square of dark chocolate will be enough and you'll no longer have any taste for a sleeve of Oreos. In my humble and very non-judgmental opinion for what you believe, I think those are false messages for me personally, and maybe for you too. The idea of balance communicates two sides, good and bad, chocolate and salad. saying everything in moderation, it communicates that all excess is bad. A narrow view of mindful eating is kind of a sneaky way of putting negative value on more than one or two bites of something. Even folks like Michael Pollan, is that how you say his last name? Who are incredibly intelligent and are trying to take away diet culture and replace it with perspectives like eat real food, mostly plants. That's one of Michael Pollan's things. He has a book called Food Rules, and that's one of them. Eat real food, mostly plants. And another is like, if you can't pronounce the ingredient list, don't eat it. Those are just really contributing to a new kind of diet culture. Eat real food, mostly plants, makes us feel like we're doing something wrong when we eat fake food with no plant in sight. Maybe we wouldn't see it that way if we were better equipped to handle the food and image messages berating us at every turn, but we're not equipped. We are very ill-equipped, and we walk in bondage to food and what it will do to our bodies more than most people, I think, realize. Now, I'm not saying this is true of every single person at all, but based on my experience, it's true of most. Even if you're eating quote unquote healthy, it's a huge suck on your time and thinking. And for what purpose? There's nothing wrong with healthy foods, or at least like what we think of when we think of healthy foods, but there's nothing wrong with unhealthy ones either. In fact, I don't believe they're unhealthy because our bodies are smart and know what they need. I think health and unhealth is a very tricky message that we don't always understand very well. You know, when you go a couple of meals where you eat a lot of fried foods, like on vacation or something, and then your body is desperate for a salad, your body isn't saying, why did you give me that garbage? I deserve better. It's simply your body saying, cool, I need a salad next. There's no moral value one way or the other. When certain foods are forbidden, even in the tiniest way, like only desserts one day a week, or I'll eat anything I want on a cheat day, or whatever it is, it makes that forbidden food more desirable. We all know that and have experienced it probably multiple times. But if you were to say to yourself, I'm going to eat whatever I feel like my body wants right now, it takes the pressure off everything in your house. You don't have to be scared that you'll eat so many chips. So you either need to like finish the entire bag now so you're not tempted to eat more chips tomorrow, or you just have to keep chips out of your house completely. No, chips are fine. Chips aren't good or bad. They're just food. And when you take away the forbidden nature of chips, you don't binge all the chips because you can eat more later if your body needs it. Your body might want just one chip, or it might want a giant handful or two next to your burger. But as you listen to your body and hear it tell you that it's full, you won't panic and eat all the chips that are left because you can literally have them whenever your body wants them. Now you might be thinking, well, if I trusted my body and ate whatever it wanted, I would only eat cheese fries and ice cream sandwiches. I'm not smart enough to say whether or not that's true, but I wonder if you might consider giving yourself and your body more credit than that.
This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Recently, I was driving the middle school carpool, and the two eighth graders were talking about how they had to take a foreign language in high school next year. One of them said, man, why do we have to take a class? Can't we just use Rosetta Stone? That thing works great. And while I tend to stay quiet during carpool, I did pipe up from the front. It really is, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It is available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Lazy Genius podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/genius. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/genius today. This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Hosting the show and running the Lazy Genius Collective is very much a full-time job squeezed into part-time hours. Thankfully, I have found some ways to Lazy Genius my work, including using Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. You can secure a domain, create a site with the all-new guided Squarespace blueprint, and activate easy-to-use payment tools all in one spot. And with Squarespace AI and integrated optimized SEO tools, you can polish what you want to say and get it in front of your people. My team and I just revamped our Squarespace site at the beginning of the year, and I'm still obsessed. It not only looks great, it's easy to navigate as a visitor and as an admin. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/lazygenius to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This episode is sponsored by Third Love. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love's mission is to take the frustration out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, or as they call them, problems. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. My go-to Third Love bra is the Perfect Coverage 24/7 Classic Bra. It's been a favorite for 3 years, and I find myself reaching for it every morning. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This episode is sponsored by Pros. We all know your hair and skin can sway your mood and impact your day, good or bad. But since I switched to Custom Hair Care by Pros, I've had more good hair days than ever before. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Every bottle of Pros Custom Hair and Skin Care is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. It literally could not exist without you. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of you, what you eat, where you live, and what you want from your hair and skin. My Made for Kendra products take into account the average humidity and UV index in Greensboro. Wild. And because it's made for me, I've seen consistently softer, shinier, stronger hair every day. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/lazygenius. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/lazygenius. That's PROSE.com/lazygenius.
This isn't a switch that flips, like where any baggage or addictions around food will be fixed just like that. I get that. But if we take the food out of it, which intuitive eating does, it leaves space for us to consider what's underneath the food. Are you eating a certain way or obsessed with certain foods or want to eat more healthy because you want your body to look differently? And why is that? Honestly. Now, I get it. I talked about this in the weight episode, but for many years, way more than three, I thought that having a stomach that wasn't sculpted and flat and ready to wear a two-piece meant that I was a garbage person, or at least not as important or valuable as someone with that kind of stomach, which is utter nonsense. Now, intuitively, that same intuition that is trying to tell you what to eat without all the weirdness, intuitively, I know that's nonsense, but we're all hit with these conflicting messages from everywhere and we feel stuck. There's not a magazine around that isn't telling me how to get my abs. So apparently abs are really important. Okay. You will always fail at a diet. Always. Every time. You will never eat completely healthfully in the traditional sense ever. It is a losing game. And yet we keep playing it. We keep saying, I'll do better, or I'm worth it, or any other kind of message that still doesn't really address the fact that we're sticking morality onto food. Healthy eating is a trap. I'm just going to say it. I mean, I've been saying it, but now I'm going to say it like that. I believe that healthy eating is a trap, or the terminology is a trap. It's just a nicer, less extreme way of saying that certain foods are better or worse. And when it comes to our bodies, which are completely different from each other, and from themselves over time, better and worse, it just isn't a thing. Now, you might say that, you know, like, well, sugar causes addictions for everyone. My own personal anecdote from that, I have done a couple of sugar-free challenges, and guess what? I was a garbage person during them. I was so mean. My body was so sad. And it's not because like, oh, you're going through withdrawal. No, no, no. I was sad, genuinely sad, because baking is something that brings me tremendous joy. Not being able to bake and eat and share was ignoring my body and my soul. It's all connected. Listening to our bodies isn't just listening to our hunger pains or our immediate reactions to a McDonald's commercial. It's listening to our bodies as a whole, mind, soul, physiology, intuition, because intuition is different than instinct. Let me say that again. Intuition is different than instinct. You might have an instinct to want a Frosty when you pass the Wendy sign because our brains are triggered easily. And we remember how delicious a Frosty is. Chocolate, not this vanilla nonsense. But if you're listening to your intuition, I'm not saying you'll drive by and skip it and be a better person. No, no, no. Whether you pull into the drive-thru or keep driving is irrelevant. If your intuition says, a Frosty, it's been a long time since I've had one, but it's not what I need right now. Maybe another time, and I'll bring the kids. Or maybe your body's like, we've had a hard day. Driving with the windows down and eating a Frosty and remembering eating one as a kid with your cousins at the beach is a good call right now. There's no right or wrong. One scenario isn't better than another. It's more right time or wrong time, and your body knows the difference. And if your body tells you, we love sugar, we love it, but most days, let's skip it at night because our stomach needs the movement and the action of the day to kind of handle the sugar well. That's fantastic. Your body knows what it needs. Your body might like adore a green smoothie every morning and crave it and thrive on it. Wonderful. No food is better than another. You don't have to feel badly about what your body needs either way. If you need more salads than a friend does, you're not a healthier eater. If you're sitting with that friend who seems to eat more salads than you do, it doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. Your body just needs different things, and that is great and normal. Amen. Your body is trustworthy. I believe that for everyone. But just remember that intuition is different than instinct, and you can trust your intuition. Okay, I've already said a lot of words. I realize that, and there are a lot more that could be said, but I think we're going to close up for now. I just want to encourage you to start thinking about this idea. Start noticing when you put morality on food, how often you think about food, how there might be messages that you believe that sound good, but are maybe keeping you in bondage to food and body image more than you realize. Just pay attention. And we're coming into, you know, Halloween candy and Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas cookies and all the things. And then come January, it's like, oh, my pants. Just listen to your intuition. Start now. There's not a start and stop on the calendar for intuitive eating. You can eat this way all the time and enjoy your life and not put morality on food. I want to invite you into that mindset just to start thinking about what that might be like. Notice little moments. Just pay attention. You don't have to make a decision right now. I want to talk about this more on Instagram this week, right? We could do that. I'm there on the Lazy Genius, not on the Lazy Genius, at the Lazy Genius. And I will be there this Thursday around 12:15 Eastern, like every week. And I'm really excited to hear your thoughts. Okay. That's it for today. I'm really glad you are here today. I hope you leave this time every time encouraged. It is a great honor that you listen and that you share the show with your people. And remember, it's okay to not always have an answer. Sometimes we talk about things here on the podcast that can't be wrapped up in a bow or stuck inside a routine, and that's okay. It's good even. You're okay sitting with the questions, and I can't wait to sit in them with you on Thursday. I will see you here on the podcast next week. And until then, be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. Bye, guys.